We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
We are going to continue into part three of our series, Deeper. If you've been with us, I've been telling the church, if you've been with us through the beginning of the year, you know we focused on better, how better is closer than we think. We focused on stronger, building relationships that are stronger, families that are stronger, you know, and now we're going deeper because the reality is if you don't have any depth, you will never have anything that you can expect more than surface. Our expectations must remain shallow and surface if we're not willing to go deeper. And last time I checked, no one was interested in the shallow things of God. Last time I checked, people actually wanted the promises of God over their lives. Last time I checked, they actually wanted to see what God said, and they wanted it for their life, and they claimed it. No one said, hey, God, I just want to be good with you, but you don't have to do a thing for me. I'm not interested in any promise you've ever said. In fact, I just want to know I've got my little get-out-of-fire card, you know. Like, you don't have to do anything else for me. Like, how many know that salvation, we're thankful and we don't need anything else, but if God promised something, we want it. Anybody want something that God promised? Well, then you got to know what he promised. How can you expect what you don't know? You can't. It's ludicrous. Had to work that word in there today. In the last couple weeks, we've spent time understanding how important it is to have a deeper knowledge of God's word and to know him deeper by knowing his word, which explains his character and his promises towards us. And so, and then even last week, we investigated what healthy roots of our faith look like. If we see a blooming flower, we know its roots are healthy. Isn't that right? In the same way, if our actions and deeds are healthy, we know that our roots are healthy. And so today I want to go deeper in our one-on-one time with God. Let's talk about prayer and fasting. Oh, no, he did. No, yes, he did. Oh, here we go. I want the deep things of God, but I want to stay shallow. Stop it. Just stop. Make me take a drink. Just water. We need a deep faith, y'all. Where there is no depth, it only leaves surface expectations. Don't forget that. And as with any relationship, if you want to grow, you have to spend time directly with that person. Would you agree with that statement? If you don't agree with that statement, you probably need marriage counseling. You probably need to realign. You know, a relationship isn't someone just to have when there's a need. It's someone to appreciate and love all the time. True? And so prayer and fasting, they create the one-on-one time needed to grow a deeper relationship with God. God designed humanity to have a deep relationship with him. In fact, it is the reason he created us. He created us so that we would be like him and that we would turn around and love him. Did you know that? If you don't know, now you know. In Genesis, it's interesting. Look at this. In Genesis 1:26, God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. In our image according to our likeness. Have you ever heard the statement, we were made in the image of God? This is a true statement, but to better understand it, it's helpful to say we are made in the image of the Godhead or the Trinity. See, to say we're made in the image of the Father is to forget the our part. Did you hear me? Let's go back to Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. This is the first time in the Bible we see God speak of the Trinity. We see the Spirit hovering over the deep, but this is the first time he says our is in three. Hello? And so when you understand that God created us not just in the image of the Father, but in the image of the Son and of the Spirit, it helps us understand the depth in which we were made. It helps us understand that there should be depth in our understanding, there should be depth in our relationship, and there should be a hunger for something more. We got to go deeper. And so the hour, Pastor Chad, why is this so important? Because two-thirds of our being was created to be in direct connection to our Creator in an unseen world. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit What are we made at? We are made of the body, the soul, and the spirit. And you say, well, Pat and Chad, you already talked about this last week. I don't think you got it. Because if we got it, our week would change. The margin in which we create would change so that we have more time with God to go deeper, because we realize most of the time all we're doing is gratifying one third of our being. And the two thirds are starving. And we think that when we have that unsatisfied feeling, we think it's because we need more Doritos. We need another vacation. We need more me time. We need another toy. But it's the two thirds that are starving, and they can't be filled without going to the source. It is a soul and spirit problem you feel unsatisfied, not a body problem. The Apostle Paul even writes about our three parts. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are made in three parts. Do not neglect two thirds of who you are. So I make this big point because we unknowingly or without real consideration starve two thirds of our being and wonder why we're not truly satisfied. We need to go deeper. We were created for a deep spiritual relationship with our Creator. Prayer and fasting will help that. Now, are you interested? I hope so. Number one, prayer is intentional intimacy with God. Prayer is intentional intimacy with God. It's important. And so let me help you, because I know, look, we're all in a different place on our journey with God, right? We're all in a different place on our walk with God. And so I can't assume that everyone even knows how to pray properly. I need to help you so that you don't mix twinkle twinkle with your prayers. Okay? I am here. That is part of the burden I carry. So I want to help you. Did you ever notice twinkle twinkle and the ABCs have the same melody line? What? Maybe if I could get you to use that melody line in the Our Father prayer. We would pray more, know it more. Anyway, so listen, I know some people, when they think about communication, I'm telling you, we know that no relationship can survive without communication. And I know that there's some people out there that say, actually, Pastor Chad, my relationships are better when I don't say a thing. Let me tell you this, the rule that we should remember is, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. It's not that you should just remain silent, just don't say stupid things. Hello? Because a good growing relationship needs conversation, but what you say matters. Avoid foot and mouth syndrome. Avoid, make sure you have a filter. I can't believe how many people walk around without a filter these days. You said what? And you got to assume there's a camera everywhere. Somebody's going to put it up. It's going to go viral. People are going to laugh at the stupid thing you said. It's going to be a bad situation. So you got to protect your mind. You got to protect your heart. You got to be careful what you say. But having conversation is vital to having a deep relationship. So one of the best ways we communicate with God is through prayer. So how do I pray? Well, when we see Jesus' example on how to pray in Matthew 6, which is the Lord's Prayer, we see communicating with God is a simple, heartfelt conversation with God. Simple, heartfelt conversation. You say, Chad, what does conversation mean? It means give him time to speak. Don't just quickly get through your daily devotional to check it off your list and run out the door. And he was like, give him some margin in your world to be able to speak. Do you have quiet time in your life at all, in your day? And what I mean by that is, are you the kind of person that always has to have noise on? You walk into the house, the TV goes on. You walk in, you get in your car, the radio goes on. You go to sleep, you turn the fan on. When I read, the Bible often says that God is speaking in the still, small voice. Would you even hear it? We've got to create opportunity for the full conversation, not just your part. But prayer, we've got to understand that it's a simple, heartfelt conversation with God. And so conversing as you would with somebody you love and respect. Respect is a big key. People, they get too familiar with God because they know they love him. And then they just have, you got to be careful in the way which we deal with God. We do it in reverence. We respect him. And because we love him, he can take our issues when we have struggles and we just need to vent. But remember, get it out of your system, but remember who God is, and don't bring him down to a common place. We've got to respect him. We've got to converse the same way that you would have conversation with somebody that you love and respect. That's how you speak with God. And so we need to see communicating with God as a simple, heartfelt conversation. And so simply talk to God, thank him for who he is, what he has done, ask for strength where you need it, and request that he guide you through life. That's a good place to start. If you can get a few of those things down, you got enough to talk about. God, I thank you for what you've done for me. Well, what has he done for you? Well, let me think. Well, now we're going to get into some conversation. God, I really appreciate that, you know, you helped me through that thing. I didn't think I'd be able to come out the other side. I thought after divorce, I wouldn't be able to have another start. Think about the things that God has been able to help you through. And start to claim them as God things, not coincidence things. Start to claim them as God's provision, not your wittiness. Start to thank God, and then thank him for the unseen. Thank him, God, I don't know what you saved me from today that I would have totally fallen flat on my face, but I appreciate that you're for me and not against me. So go into those things. Actually find some depth in conversation. Don't just be like, thank you for another day. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this food. Amen. All those things are good, but have relationship. God, thank you for the ability to work. I know there are a lot of people out there that struggle and cannot work. I thank you not only for the ability to work, but the talents in which I have the ability to keep my job, because that's from you. Amen. I thank you for the finances, although they would be awesome if there'd be more, but I thank you for what I do have so that I can pay for what I need, and I, in fact, can eat even if it's ramen. Amen? Thank God for what you have now, because if you're not thankful for what you have now, you won't have more. See, the crazy thing about people is that they think that, God, if you bless me more, then I'll be more like what you want. And God says, you're in your proving ground. I know exactly what I'll get even if I give you more. You say, God, bless me more, and then I'll be faithful. And God says, you're in your proving ground. I know if I gave you more, you'd be exactly the same, just with more. You become actually the stop. You become the plug of the blessing pipe. We've got to start being what we want or what we think of God now. We've got to start being obedient now, so that God trusts us with the later, now and then later. I'll just keep moving. So again, how do I pray? It's a simple, heartfelt conversation to God. Tell God what you're going through, what you are thinking. People, they try and hide their thoughts from God because, you know, some of their thoughts aren't godly. Well, that's exactly what you need to expose. Lord, this stinks. It's not a good way of thinking. I've tried to deal with it. I need your help. Help me here. I don't want to talk it away and act like it's not there because you already know. Like a kid holding a big teddy bear behind your back. Nope, I don't have it. I didn't think that. God knows. God knows. Just expose it. Let him help you. That's what prayer's about. It's about getting deep. It's about being vulnerable. Maybe that's why people don't like to pray, because they don't like to be vulnerable. Maybe they're convicted on the lack of depth in their prayers. Just keep preaching. Doesn't matter if they like you. You know what I should get? I should get one of those boxing, like the guy in the corner of the ring. Just build a corner of a ring. The guy standing here, and when I feel like I'm a little, you know, he jumps out, squirts some water, gives me a rub, like, keep going. Doesn't matter if they like you. Come on, Iraq. You know? And so, can... 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Bring me back. Oh, man. Never stop praying. When? Never. So when's never? Never. I ask myself simple questions in the Bible so I can go deeper, okay? Never stop praying. Tell God what you're going through. Yes, pray. In fact, don't stop praying. You know, what I've noticed is, you know, first of all, when you say amen, do you understand what you're really saying at the end of a prayer is let it be so? Let it be so. So when we say, in Jesus' name, let it be so. Why? Because he's our access point. He's the reason we have the ability to speak with God. He is the door. Amen? So in Jesus' name, God, let this be so. Okay? That's what prayer is. That's why we go to him. And that's why the only way God actually has the ability to answer our prayers, the ability to move on our prayers, is actually the access point of Jesus. That's why the cross is the greatest thing that's ever happened to mankind. Jesus teaches us Not just to, you know, not only does the word say never stop praying, but he also teaches us how not to pray. Can I do it wrong? Yep. Let's go there. Matthew 6:4-6. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth that that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Keep it between you and God. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean we shouldn't pray corporately as a church or in groups. It means don't pray as a show. It means don't try and look spiritual. Don't you, you know, you ever see that person, they go back to the 80s when, you know, the bigger Bible you had, the more spiritual you were. Like, actually, they made a Bible called the Chunky Bible. And so it was like a little square Bible, but it was like, boom, you know. And so people got their big old Bible cases and they're just like rolling like, see me rolling, you know, and so you walk up and you're like, let me see the size of your Bible. Way more spiritual than you. It's not about looking the part, it's about being the part. And the fact of the matter is what, you know, Jesus is saying, don't do this surface. Yeah, there's one person that's in on this. Don't do this at a surface level. Hey, do this about God. And in fact, don't let anyone else know you're doing half the stuff you're doing because it's about God. And if you keep it about God and you don't even let everyone else know what you're doing, then God knows it's really about God. Then you'll be rewarded. So keep it between you and God. And I mean, I could keep going on prayer, but I think that's a good start. I'm going to need more time on fasting. So let's get to fasting. Number two, fasting is prioritizing time with God. It's prioritizing time with God. See, because Jesus didn't command Christians to fast, many don't. As with other things in life, some choose only to do the mandatory things in the game of pass or fail. Ever think about it that way? See, the Bible says that some things are permissible, but they're not beneficial, right? And so although we've got the freedom and the liberty to do some things, it doesn't mean it's necessarily beneficial to our spirits. But we also have the freedom to do things he didn't necessarily command the new church, the Christian church that we see building in Acts. He didn't necessarily command things, but they're extremely beneficial if we choose to do them. Did you hear that? So you may be like, well, Jesus didn't command me to do it, so I'm just too busy. Well, just understand there are some things he didn't command that are extremely beneficial if we choose to do them. So, in fact, the Bible does show that fasting is something that is good and that it is profitable and that it is beneficial. And too often when we think of fasting, we only focus on the lack of food. Some people will be like, man, I've been fasting for 2 days. I'm just dead. It's like, well, have you prioritized time with God? Have you even prayed? Have you even given him any time? Are you just starving yourself? Some people, they love when New Year's comes around because they can jump on that Daniel fast, which is actually, if you're not doing it right, it's just a diet. Man, I am on my Daniel fast, living that hummus life. Oh, 18 days in, glory to God, I lost 10 pounds. Fasting isn't about starving yourself, it's about prioritizing time with God. Don't kid yourself. We tend to think of fasting as going without food, but we can fast from anything. Listen, if you love music and you decide to not go to that concert so you can prioritize time with God, you fasted. Did you hear me? Yeah. I love music. I love going to shows. If I choose to not go to that concert so that I can go and be in the house of God and give him my time, that was fasting, something I loved. Did you hear me? People only connect it to food, but the reality is we can fast from anything. You know, it is helpful to think of the parallel of human friendship. When friends need to be together, they will cancel anything and everything to make it possible. Hello? They will find a way to remove the barriers that are keeping them apart. There's nothing magical about fasting. It's just one way of telling God that your priority at that moment is to be alone with him. Sorting out whatever is necessary And you've canceled the meal, you've canceled the party, you've canceled the concert, whatever else you had planned in order to fulfill that priority. Does that help you understand what fasting is? It's not about starving, it's about prioritizing a time with God and taking that time and using it for God. So to cut through the strings of expectation to make God a priority. That is what biblically we see, why we see prayer and fasting linked together so much. We're prioritizing our time with God by fasting distractions and through prayer, intimately drawing closer to him. Hello? So prayer and fasting are shown linked together throughout the Bible, but a couple examples are here. Look at Luke 2:37. It says this, "And then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying," linked together. Let's see the next scripture, Luke 5:33. It says, "They said to him," John's disciples often fast and pray. See how it's linked together? They can be done separately, but if you're doing it spiritually, there needs to be a spiritual, it can't just be starving for the sake of a diet. Okay, so how should I fast? Is it possible to fast and pray incorrectly? Yep. Let's go through the scripture. I need a hanky today. Woo. Isaiah 58, check this one out. "We have fasted before you," they say. "Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves and you don't even notice it." "I will tell you why," God responds. "It's because you are fasting to please yourselves even while you fast. You keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes," the show, hello. "Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help." Crazy Uncle Eddie needs your help. Stop hiding. "Then your salvation will come like dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, 'Yes, I am here.' He will quickly reply." So what's interesting here, when I read this, God is saying fasting isn't something you do to make yourself feel better about yourself spiritually. He's saying it isn't something you do to show how spiritual you are. He's saying it should produce godliness that leads us forward. Fasting should produce godliness that leads us forward. Godliness that leads you somewhere, not just the beach body, that leads you forward. Jesus tells us that fasting should be about God and not the way it can make you look spiritually. Look what it says back in Matthew 6, 16 through 18. It says, "And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except who? Your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you." Doesn't that sound like another scripture we just read about prayer? That's because they're linked together. And the way in which we do it, it's a spirit thing. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. When I was in Bible college, before we got into this deep teaching, there would be, not a lot, I'll give credit, most of them were good, but there'd be a person here or there that, you know, we'd be going out after class or something, "Hey, you want to go to Jake's or some place that we would go for food?" And they'd be like, "Sorry, I'm fasting. I can't do it today. It's my cross to bear." And they'd have all this, like, you know, it's just crazy, because the reality is, just say no. Say, "I can't do it today." You don't got to make it something that's public. Allow that to be between you and God, because that's what he's going to reward. Amen? This doesn't mean we shouldn't fast corporately as a church or in groups. It just means don't fast as trying to show off your spirituality. Sound familiar? All right. Now I'm going to give you a new list. I already gave you 1 and 2. We're going to bounce to another list. So I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4. I could say A, B, C, D. but you can do whatever you want. Purposes for fasting found in the Bible. Number one, an expression of repentance. Because we're talking about fasting. I want you to understand biblically why people fasted. Okay? Now, we've got to be very careful with this because look it, we live in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. Right? And so we're not saved by our deeds or our works. We're saved by grace through God's mercy, through Jesus. However, there's a sense of, there's an expression of repentance that has come out of this that we see in the Old Testament. And so it also at times is an expression of sorrow and deep repentance, something that a person or community will do in order to acknowledge failure before God and seek his mercy. Do you understand the difference between Old Testament and New Testament? What I'm saying is this was about seeking God's mercy. We understand God is merciful because of Jesus. We have a different outlet, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't feel the weight of our sin. Some people are so quick to pull out the grace card, they forget what they actually did before they actually repented, and did they really repent? I think when you feel the weight of your repentance, you understand what you did to displease God. It actually keeps you from doing it again. It helps you. If you're quick to just pull the grace card and thank God the fact that, you know, thank you, God, I apologize, it's done. Feel the weight of your sin so it helps you keep from doing it again. Plus, I appreciate God more when I feel the weight of it for a minute and then I can give it to him and then know that he's got it. But it was an expression of repentance. In 1 Samuel 7, 5 through 6, it says, then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day, they fasted and there they confessed. We have sinned against the Lord. They fasted and confessed. Fasting and prayer, talking to God, explaining to him what's going on. It's linked again, right? So, and in Joel 2:12, this is what the Lord says. The Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear clothing in your grief, but instead tear your hearts. Instead, tear your hearts. Tear your hearts instead, however you want to say it, but that's what it says. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not to punish. How many are thankful that's the kind of God we serve? So it can be an expression of repentance. Number two in our second list. It's part of a discipline of self-control. We see that in the Bible when it comes to fasting. 1 Corinthians 7, 5 through 6 says, do not deprive each other of sexual relations. Marital context. This next scripture is about married folk. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time, thank you, Lord, so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. The New King James Version says fasting and prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So I say this is a concession, not as a command, thank you, Lord. It's a concession, not as a command, thank you, Lord. But the reality is this. Fasting can also be a self-discipline. A mutual self-discipline. Between married folk. All you single people, just close your ears. I'm just playing. Whew, I'm glad of the things I don't say in my mind. 1 Corinthians 7. 5 through 6, it shows us how we can use fasting as a self-discipline to focus on God in the moment. Hello? Okay, we'll move on because that was uncomfortable. Number three, fasting shows dependence on God alone. Someone's like, my kids are in here. You're talking about sex. We've got an amazing kids ministry. That's why we have it. Because I'm not going to not go there when you need to go there. Hello? I don't see any kids. All I see is lights, and so don't take this offense, but all I'm saying is we need to go there, people. You know? Okay. It's a way of sharing that we depend on God alone and draw all our strength and resources from him. If you read in Ezra 8:21, it says, there by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. You're seeing another purpose, hey? And so it shows dependence on God alone. And number four, It brings total focus during seasons of seeking. It brings total focus during seasons of seeking. I think these last four points didn't make it on our point screen, so we'll have to work that out for the next service. But it brings total focus during seasons of seeking. Look, it's a way of focusing totally on God when seeking his guidance and his help. And of showing that you really are earnest in your request. Anybody? Do you understand this? So when the army of Israel was losing in battle against the Benjamites, they sought God's guidance and help through prayer and fasting. Judges 20, 26 through 29. Then all the Israelites, the whole army, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening, presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord, which in the Old Testament, that was praying to God, being able to go to the altar and present these things. We're seeing the link between fasting and prayer. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord. In those days, the Ark of the Covenant was, God was there with Phinehas, son of Eleazar, and the son of Aaron, ministering before it. They asked, shall we go up again to fight against the Benjamites, our fellow Israelites, or not? The Lord responded, go, for tomorrow I will give them into your hands. Then Israel sent an ambush around Gibeah. So it's interesting because in this situation, we see people that are in a hard situation. If you'd been reading, they've been losing the war that they were in. So they come back up to the mountaintop after losing so many of their soldiers, and they pray to God. They fast for the day. They're seeking a response from God. And guess what we saw? God respond. Now, I can tell you this. Look, we're going to get into it more next week about why fasting and what we can expect through fasting. I'm just trying to give you the deep understanding of what fasting is properly, okay? But what I can tell you is there are some things that aren't going to be broken in your life if you don't get more prioritized time with God and dig in deep. Not that you don't eat to prove that you're serious about it, but that you prove you're prioritizing time to be able to hear his voice. It says that that's what they did on that mountain, and God responded. And not only did he respond, he told them to go, and surely they had victory in that war. Amen? And so we see Esther petition for her people to fast and pray for God's protection and using her to save her people, the Jews. Yes? Esther 4, 16 through 17 says this, go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. So what was that about? Remember Esther quickly. I don't have time to dig into the whole thing. Esther was Jewish. Her people had, there had been basically this order from the king to get rid of all of the Jews. Have we seen that in history before? Okay, that's why we side with Israel. Not getting political, it's about understanding God's people are his people and we should love them. Did he go political? No, I went godly. It's about God's people. Hello. I don't like his political stance. You don't like God's political stance because he has a people. I'm not coming back here. Just read your word. Go deeper. Then I don't have to say it. Okay, so Esther, she tells all the people, hey, look, pray and fast because the king didn't ask me to come into his presence. If I go in and he doesn't raise his golden scepter to allow me to come, I can be killed in the moment. So let's all pray and fast that God will give me favor with the king. It's another way in which we show God, hey, I'm prioritizing my time. I'm focusing in on you. I am going to spend time, of total focus during this season of seeking. Anybody? Okay. And so as the keys come back, let me just fill you in with this last point. The book of Acts records believers fasting and praying before they made important decisions. Acts 14, 23, it says this, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. There was a decision that needed to be made. They needed to seek total guidance from God, so they decided to pray and fast. They decided to fast and pray. Do you see how they're linked? Do you see any benefit to your life to consider maybe taking up fasting?
If you want a deeper relationship with God, look, you don't have to fast, but you also don't have to have all the things from God. Understand, you do not have to do some of these things because not all of these things were commands. But there will be things from God you do not get. You will not go deeper if you're not willing to do some things that are uncomfortable. If you're not willing to prioritize time with God to go deeper. You getting this, church? Inevitably, prayer and fasting are about drawing us closer to God who loves us and provides for us. Aren't you thankful for a God that loves us? Aren't you thankful that we don't have to try and convince God to love us? You know, I look at some of the other religions in this world and how they've got to beg and plead for their God to even see them, for their God to pay attention to them. Yet we have a God that's begging and pleading for us to pay attention to him, who's relentlessly pursuing us because he loves us beyond our failures and our shortcomings. See, what Jesus did for us, no one else could do.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.